ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Inshallah, tonight, which is Tuesday, 28th of July, 1998, equivalent for the 5th of the 2nd Rabi' for the year 1419, we gathered here in Masjid al-Muslimin in Columbia, South Carolina, to continue our project concerning the study of the book بلوغ المرام, كتاب بلوغ المرام, which is in English say the attainment of the objective. And by Allah leave, today this class constitutes the class number 22. We have covered 21 classes before, and tonight, inshallah, this is the 22nd class for this book. And we've been for the last 2 weeks dealing with the description of the prayer of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alaykum assalam. And today, inshallah, this will be the last class concerning this chapter, the book of prayer, concerning the description of the prayer of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we said before, that each hadith of this ahadith is describing what was the Sahabi, what one of the companions had observed from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his prayer. We see some of them describe his saying, while some of them they describe his movement, some of them they describe the supplication, while others they describe the recitation. And by putting all these ahadith together, we will have a perfect picture, a perfect idea about the prayer of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I had explained before, that we went through this kind of class before in detail when we talk about the description of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we study the book of Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani hafizahullah. And we had covered this book approximately 2 months. We made 7 classes, and after this we had went over 3 classes additional for fatwa and the question and answer by Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz. So today inshallah we will continue our discussion concerning the description of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I don't know how many of you remember the last class that we, the last hadith. And this hadith number 235 in page 108 from the book of the prayer in Kitab Bulugh al-Maram, as well as hadith number 236. Inshallah, we had already discussed them, but we can review them quickly. That narrated Ibn Buhayna radiallahu ta'ala an, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا صلى وسجد فرج بين يديه حتى يبدو بياض إبطيه. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم during his salah, when he used to prostrate, he used to spread out his arms so that the whiteness of his armpit would be visible. And we said that we should try to exercise this to the best of our ability without disturbing the rest of the Muslims in the jama'ah, in the rank. And if you're praying by yourself or you're making the sunnah, you should try to exercise this to the best of your ability. But if you are in the line, the main concern here that you make sure that your arm is not spread or touching the ground, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid us imitating the dogs or the animals while we're prostrating. And putting the arm, the full arm, that means your hand, your palm and your arm and your elbow touching the ground, this exactly like the way how the dog sits. Okay, so we've been forbid to pray like this. So if you are in jama'ah and the rank side, try at least to lift your arm and your elbow out of the floor without disturbing the rest of the Muslims to your both sides. The next hadith, which has almost the same meaning, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the hadith which reported by Al-Bara' ibn Azib, إذا سجدت فضع كفيك وارفع مرفقيك. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم instructed him that when he prostrates in salah, that put your palms, okay, put your hands on the floor or in the ground and raise up your elbows. The next hadith, which hadith 237 and narrated by Wa'il ibn Hujr رضي الله عنه، that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا ركع فرج بين أصابعه وإذا سجد ضم أصابعه. So this hadith describing the fingers of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم during the prayer, during the position of ركوع. So during the ركوع, your hand on your knee, and that your finger are spread open. So you'll be holding the knee with your hand and your fingers around your knee. But when you go to prostration, that you put your fingers together, you don't spread them. Because this also will be imitations for the animals, spreading the fingers, okay, on the ground. You notice this when the animal walks or be standing, that the finger spreads. Nevertheless, that this is the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah today, this will be the first hadith now in our class. Will be page number 109, page number 109, hadith number 238. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي متربعا. Hadith again that Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, قالت رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي متربعا. This hadith which reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that she saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he sat, while he was making a prayer, he was sitting cross-legged, tarabbu', okay, that like Brother Adnan or Brother Najib, the way how he's sitting, it is called tarabbu', okay, that means he would be sitting while your feet, I don't know how to describe it for somebody over Indian style. What about if somebody doesn't know about Indian now? What we're going to tell them? I would tell them, you understand, like maybe everybody know about karate. Your legs is close in front of you without being standing up, without the need to be erected up, okay? So this is what we call it mutarabbi'a. And praying sitting down, we understand that one of the requirements of the salah that you pray standing up. A person doesn't pray sitting except if you have a problem, okay? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us that صلي قائما, pray standing up. فإن لم تستطع, if you could not, okay? Now, so the first is obligation of a person standing up in the prayer. If he could not, now he can sit. If you could not pray sitting, now you will lay down in your side. Whatever position that more convenient to you, if in your side, if you could not make it in your side, you will lay in your back. The main thing that the Muslim doesn't neglect is the prayer under any condition, okay? This is a must in all the Muslims, regardless wherever they are. Even in a state of war, when you're fighting the enemy, the salah is still obligatory in you. And this shows you how important the salah. That is no excuse for any Muslim to neglect it. And but the salah for optional prayer, sunnah prayer, which is not obligatory, now the standing is not a must, okay? But the reward will be late. The reward will be late. That means if somebody has the ability to stand up in the optional prayer, in the sunnah prayer, but he choose to sit, the salah is acceptable, but he will get what? Half of the reward. Okay? If a person has the means to stand up in the obligatory prayer and he didn't stand up, his salah is not acceptable because he had neglected intentionally part of the salah, which is the standing up. Okay? So this hadith that Aisha radiallahu anha telling us that she saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting mutarabbi'a, okay, there is explanation here, maybe we can say it so the people who over the phone can understand what we're talking about. The tarabba, like you put in the bottom of your right foot, okay, under your left leg, okay, is it correct? And the bottom of your left foot under the right leg. Will this describe it a little bit? Okay, under the leg, under the knee, Indian style, Abdul Aziz insists Indian style. You see, if somebody here Indian, he understands, he will be mad at you. Okay. So basically, this is the position. And this position will be for a person if he sits during the obligatory prayer. Okay? This position will be what? For a person who is ill or sick during the obligatory prayer. Otherwise, in the optional prayer, you can do it even if you are not sick. How a person can determine this? This, only the person can determine this for himself, that he could not stand or is going to increase his sickness or going to make him dizzy, okay? So it has to be determined by the person himself if he can or could not. And the person who is sick and sits and make his prayer is not diminished from the rewards, okay? Is not diminished. That means he will get the same reward, because if he has the means, the ability to stand up, he will stand up. Okay? So he did it as a result that he could not be standing up. And this hadith is in the collection of Imam Nisa'i, as well Ibn Khuzaymah. And Sheikh Al-Albani, حفظه الله, he said that the sanad or the chain of this hadith is authentic. Okay? The next hadith after this, inshallah, hadith number 239. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول بين السجدتين اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني واهدني وعافني وارزقني. This hadith is in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and the Tirmidhi, as well as Ibn Majah and Al-Hakim. This hadith is Hassan, and Sheikh Al-Albani Hafizahullah said that this hadith is authentic. The hadith is relating to us about one of the dhikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to perform during his salah, and this used to be between the two sajda. Each rak'ah of the prayer that he make two sajda. So after he making the first sajda, and he sits between, before you go to the second prostration, you will utter this dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma ghafirli, which means, oh Allah, forgive me, warhamni, and be mercy towards me, wahdini, means guide me, wa'afini, keep me well, warzuqni, and provide for me. narrated Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say between the two prostrations, Allahumma ufirli, warhamni, wahdini, wa'afini, warzuqni. Oh Allah, forgive me, have mercy on me, guide me, heal me, and provide sustenance for me. You see how this hadith shows you how a Muslim is supposed to be dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. Not only calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and this it, but you calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even for your bread. You see? Your well-being, your health, everything. This is something that we have to understand it and that we realize it and acknowledge it in our life. That we call in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all our needs and all our necessities. So the Prophet ﷺ didn't make dua only related to Jannah and Maghfirah and forgiveness. But he also was calling about things which he need in this life. Like to be well, like to be provided for, all these things. And this is the real tawakkul, the real trust, the real tawheed. To understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all good and everything that you need to call on Allah for it, because He's the only one that can give it to you. Hadith number 240, page 109, wa an Malik ibn al-Huwayris رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي فإذا كان في وتر من صلاته لم ينهض حتى يستوي قاعدة. Narrated Malik ibn al-Huwayris, he saw the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم praying, and when he had prayed an odd number of raka, he did not stand up till he had sat down properly. This hadith is authentic, which is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh. And this hadith, the same way that he sit between the two prostrations, you will sit before you get up to the second rak'at. After finishing the first rak'at, you finish the first rak'at by finishing what? The second prostration. So instead of getting up straight, you will sit the same way like he sit between the two jalsa, the two sajda. Okay? For a moment, you wait until each bones go back in its place, okay? And after this, you will get up again. And been described in the book of Sheikh al-Albani, hafizahullah, that the Prophet ﷺ used to get up in what? On his fist, okay? And he gave it example that the woman who when she do the dough, okay? When you mix the flour with the water to make the bread, usually, because with the fist they have more power to beat up the dough, okay? So this is the way how been described to us, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to get up. So after you sit, now you will push yourself up against the ground with, or against the floor with your two fists, okay? And get up. This to be done after the first rak'ah, going to the second, and will be done after the third rak'ah, going to the fourth. Okay? And some people, or some scholars, they said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did this in the end of his life, because he got older, and was not that easy for him to get up. Therefore, if a person is young, he's not supposed to be practicing this. Okay? But this is not accurate, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught al-musi' salatu, the man who came and performed a prayer not properly, and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 3 times, and the Prophet tell him, go back again and make your salah over. This was the beginning of al-Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the man in this time that before he gets up, that he will sit. Okay? Before he go to the qiraa. So the excuse that some people, they say, that jalsat al-istiraha, or the sitting, alaykum, after the second and the third rak'ah only for all the people, this is not correct. Okay? The second, from the first to the second, and from the third to the fourth. Thank you. Okay? Naam. So the hadith is authentic, and this has nothing to do if you are old or young. Is this the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The next hadith, وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قنت شهرا بعد الركوع يدعو على أحياء من العرب ثم تركه. عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دعا قنت شهرا بعد الركوع. The qunut is a dua, supplication, to be done before the ruku' or after the ruku'. Okay? It's called qunut. In the last rak'at, and before you go to ruku', bound down position, or after you finish ruku', now you will supplicate. So Anas telling us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made supplication for a whole month after the ruku', and he was supplicating against some tribes of the Arab, and after this he left it. Okay? What happened that some people came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam questioning him about if he will send some of the reciters of the Quran, if he will send some of the Huffaz of the Quran to teach them Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent a great majority from the Sahaba, and in some stories or tradition that about 70 of them Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent them. And some people, so before I go to the subject, I don't want to get out of the subject, but I will explain this later. So those people, they betrayed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they betrayed the Huffaz, the scholars, and they attacked them and they killed them. And none of them remain alive except one. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so disturbed for what happened, and he was so upset, and he used to make dua because he caused a lot of hardship and harm to the Muslims by killing this Huffaz. And these tribes of Ra'al and the Quran, this is the two tribes who attacked the Huffaz of the Quran, they killed them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua every salah, not only in Fajr, every salah after ruku', that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will supplicate, ask Allah to destroy these people, to kill these people who had slaughtered the scholars. And after 1 month, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left it. And this is called dua al-nazila. Dua al-nazila. When calamity al-nazila, when a calamity, hardship comes on the Muslims, now you will make dua after ruku' in the last rak'ah, all the salah, not only in fajr, but all the salah. Okay? In the five time prayers after ruku' the last rak'ah, the imam as well as the followers, they will call in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this hardship that's happening on them. حديث أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه the قنوت supplication in the prayer for 1 month after raising up from the bound position invoking curse on some of the Arab tribes then he gave it up agreed ولي أحمد والدار قطني نحو من وجه آخر وزاد فأما في الصبح فلم يزل يقنط حتى فارق الدنيا The next hadith 242 page 110 وعنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان لا يقنط إلا إذا دعا لقوم أو على قوم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان لا يقنط إلا إذا دعا كان لا يقنط إلا إذا دعا لقوم أو دعا على قوم This hadith is authentic, which is the collection of Ibn Khuzaymah. And the saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't do qunut except in the case that he making dua for somebody or against somebody. Hadith number 242 narrated from Anas that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never used to supplicate after raising up from bound position unless he invoked a blessing on some people or a curse on some other people. So the hadith is authentic. حديث نمبر 243 بيج 110 وعن سعد بن طارق الأشجعي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قلت لأبي يا أبت إنك قد صليت خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي أفكانوا يقنطون في الفجر قال أي بني محدث رواه الخمسة إلا أبو داود This hadith is the collection of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi والنسائي and Ibn Majah and the collection of Al-Imam Ahmad and the hadith is authentic The question from Al-Hasan Ibn Ali this from this hadith negating the qunut concerning in the maktuba the obligatory prayer that was no qunut is the obligatory prayer. Okay? Except for an-nazilah. So for somebody to be making kunut, okay, in every salah, this is a bid'ah. And the dua al-nazila, that to be in all the prayer. And this what was been known to the sahaba, and this what was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if there is a calamity or something happened to the community, he will make the dua and he will making it in all the prayers, all the obligatory prayers. Now there is other dua that a person may say it in the witr prayer, as example, or tahajjud prayer, okay? This is different from it. But we're talking about continuation of al-qunut on all the prayer. This is not been known in the time of the sahaba. And the explanation to this also was the hadith that we just mentioned before, hadith number 242. So narrated Sa'd ibn Tariq al-Ashja'i, I said to my father, you have prayed behind Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar, Uthman, and behind Ali. Did they supplicate while standing in the Fajr prayer? He repeated, oh my son, this is innovation. Okay? Having this in a special prayer, or like Salat al-Fajr, okay, that was not known. What was known is the dua of the calamity for continuation of all the prayer, will be in all the prayer. After the class, please. Jazakallah khair. The next hadith in page 111, which reported by Al-Hasan ibn Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال علمني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمات أقولهن في قنوت الوتر اللهم اهدني في من هديت وعافني في من عافيت وتولني في من توليت وبارك لي فيما أعطيت وقني شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. This hadith, inshallah, authentic. And this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught. To phrase the hadith, you may find it in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Nisa'i wal Bayhaqi, and also in al-Baghawi, Sharh al-Sunnah al-Baghawi. And although that maybe the isnad or the chain of this has some weakness, but the hadith with other supported a hadith, it will come to be sahih inshallah. That Al-Hasan ibn Ali is saying that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught him few sentences or few phrases to say in the witr prayer, your last salah, the odd number prayer, that you will say, as the hadith came, hadith number 244, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, narrated bin Ali رضي الله تعالى عني الله ببليز him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me some words to say when standing in supplication during the witr. Beware, O Allah, guide me among those you have guided. Grant me mercy, grant me security among those who you have granted security. Take me into your charge among those who you have taken into your charge. Bless me in what you have given. That means whatever you already have, you are asking the blessings, okay? Guard me from evil of what you have decreed. For you decree, and nothing is decreed for you decree, and nothing is decreed for you. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can decree things to heaven, but no one can decree anything against Allah. Okay? No one can harm Allah. No one can benefit Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can affect everything. And nothing can affect him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is the one who caused all the causes. And nothing can cause Allah anything. And that whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take him as a friend, no one can dishonor him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dishonor, no one can give him mighty or honor. Okay? So this is the phrases that have been taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be said in the dua. This is the maximum and this is the most and the way that we hear in some mosques and special in Ramadan or the last the night that you consider to be Salat night of power and things like this, and the Imam stands there for half an hour, this is not the Sunnah, okay? This is not the Sunnah. And to be a common special dua that everybody recited to such a degree that you found little kids nowadays, they learning and memorizing this dua and they repeating it and you hear it in the audio tape as if it's something been taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I remember what I was trying to say and I forgot before when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the Qurra, those people who memorize the Quran, to teach the people, and the people betrayed them and they killed them, okay? That somebody would use it as proof or as evidence for khuruj, okay? To make jama'at and go khuruj and tabligh jama'at. This is not correct. Because those people whom Allah, whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent, they are scholars. They are the top of learned people among the companions. And they went to teach the people. You did not take ignorant people from Charleston to Orangeburg, and from Orangeburg to New York, and from New York you go to, and you keep going like this. As soon you give the person shahada, now you want him to go for khuruj. Khuruj to do what? The khuruj is for the ulama, the khuruj is for the scholars. Okay? So some people when they found this hadith, they said, look, this is jama'ah and they wanted to breach the Islam. He said, it's fine. But where is the jama'ah that go to breach the Islam today? As example, if you have Muhammad Sada Adli in Colombia and Ghassan al-Barqawi, not that we say we are the scholars of Islam, but at least we have some little bit knowledge that we try to teach it and breach it. Who's in Orangeburg teaching? So for somebody from Colombia, leave Colombia, going to Orangeburg and say that this is Sabilillah, what you going to Orangeburg for? Is nobody in Orangeburg to teach you Islam or to teach you Sunnah. Okay? So you do whatever you want, but don't try to tell us that this is the Sunnah that we have to make khuruj. This is not, okay? And if there is something called khuruj in Islam, will be for what? And this hadith is authentic. This hadith which reported by Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, what the meaning is, when one of you prostrates, he should not kneel in the manner of a camel, but should put down his hands before his knees. Okay? As we mentioned before, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us of imitation of the animals in all form of the salah, while we prostrate, while we sit, all these things, okay? So one of the forms of imitation is that a person will go to sujood. That means after he raises up from ruku', he sami' Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. So now when you go down for prostration, that you're supposed to put your hands first. You put your hands وَلْيَضَعْ يَدَيْهِ قَبْلَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ. Let him put his hands before his knees. Okay? Otherwise, if you put your knees first, this will be imitation to the camel, because this is the way how the camel kneels. He goes first on his knees, and after this he goes in his hands. And this hadith, because there is other hadith which is mu'allaq or mawquf. So this hadith that we just reported by Abu Hurairah is more stronger and more authentic than the other hadith that say that Wa'il ibn Hujr, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he prostrate, he put his knees before his hands. Okay? Hadith number 246, page 112, وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا قعد للتشهد وضع يده اليسرى على ركبته اليسرى واليمنى على اليمنى وعقد 53 وأشار بإصبعه السبابة. رواه مسلم. Okay. This Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, describing a part of the Salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sits for tashahud, when he sits after the two raka'at, or in Maghrib after the third raka'at and the second raka'at, or in the morning prayer after the second raka'at, or the Isha prayer, Zuhri prayer, Asr prayer, he sits after the second raka'at and the fourth raka'at, that he will put his hand, the right hand, on the right knee. And the left hand on the left knee. And after this, he will fold his fingers and point with the his right index finger. This is what you call, okay, Salata wa Khamseen. Salata wa Khamseen. This is Salata and this is the Khamseen. Okay, 53. So, this is the way how they understand it. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will fold all his fingers except the index. Okay? And he will point with this finger. So you put your hand on your knee and your fingers will be folded, all of them except the index, and this is the finger that you will be waving with or pointing with. Hadith 247, page 113, وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال التفت إلينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إذا صلى أحدكم فليقل التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. ثم ليتخير من الدعاء أعجبه إليه فيدعو به، متفق عليه. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, which reported by Ibn Mas'ud, is teaching us a part of the salah that we're supposed to say in the end of the salah, or as well as in the middle of the salah, after the second raka'at in Dhuhr, Asr, Isha, as well as Maghrib. Okay? And the last raka'at of the morning prayer, Dhuhr prayer, Asr prayer, Maghrib prayer, Isha prayer, that he said, and he said, At-tahiyyatu lillah wa salawatu wa tayyibat, as we just had mentioned it. When one of you is sitting in prayer, he should say, all service reported by words, by prayers, acts of worship, and all good things are due to Allah. You don't say this in English. You have to say it in Arabic. This is the meaning. You have to say, At-tahiyyatu lillah, wa-salawatu wa-tayyibat. Okay? Peace be upon you, O Prophet of Allah. And Allah's mercy and the blessing, peace be upon us and upon Allah, upright slaves. I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and his slave and messenger. And after this he choose any supplication. Okay? And you will supplicate with it after you say this. And this is a short form, because later on we came to understand that we will say the continuation of a tashahud. Okay? This will be said like this in the middle of the salah. But in the last raka'at, you will add. And some people, maybe you will hear that this is different from what you memorize. There is a lot of different version in a tashahud. I forgot how many, 7 or 13. Okay? And you found them collected there in the book of Sifat Salat al-Nabi by Sheikh al-Albani. And all of them is correct. Okay? And inshallah we're going to explain about the prayer or the supplication that you say after this, which comes later on in another hadith. Because we don't want the tape to click before we finish the rest of this chapter, inshallah. Or I have to start to go a little bit faster now. You found in the end of page 113, this Wali Muslim عن ابن عباس, this another narration in the collection of Imam Muslim. The first one was in the collection of Bukhari. Okay? The last one is say, التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله, is correct. And as I said, there is many other narration concerning التشهد. All of them good, inshallah. And now you see what we're just talking about in Hadith 248, page 114, وعن فضالة ابن عبيد رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو في صلاته ولم يحمد الله ولم يصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال عجل هذا ثم دعاه فقال إذا صلى أحدكم فليبدأ بتحميد ربه والثناء عليه ثم يصلي على النبي ثم يدعو بما يشاء. So now when a person, after he uttered the tashahhud, okay, now still there is more manner and more discipline and more a proper way about how to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this man, when he starts to invoke, when he starts to call in Allah without the proper way of calling in Allah, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him that he was hasty in the manner of dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him, and he told him that when any of you prays, you should begin with the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise him. He should then invoke blessings on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter, he should supplicate Allah for anything he wishes. Okay? So the proper adab for dua, that a person who is called in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his names, with his attributes, like say Allah, O Allah, I praise you and I send peace and the blessing on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. O Allah, you are Al-Malik, you are Al-Wahid, Al-Ahad, Al-Fard, Al-Samad. Whatever words that you know to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't say, O Allah, give me this, give me that. But the proper way for the dua to be acceptable, that you thank Allah, you praise Allah, that you magnify Allah first. And after this you say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, because this is the proper way for a person to come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him whatever he wants. So Rasulullah sallam said, thumma yusalli ala al-Nabi, thumma yusalli yad'u bima sha'. And after this he will send peace and the blessing on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after this he will supplicate Allah asking whatever he wants. And the hadith is authentic. The hadith after this comes to show us the completion of a tashahhud. The completion or the continuation of a tashahhud. And this is hadith 249, which is reported by Abi Mas'ud al-Ansari. وعن أبي مسعود الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال بشير بن سعد يا رسول الله أمرنا الله أن نصلي عليك فكيف نصلي عليك؟ فسكت ثم قال قولوا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد والسلام كما علمتم. Okay, the hadith is authentic. And this one of the Sahabi was so concerned because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran to send peace and the blessing on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says that إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتِهُ وَيُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Indeed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invoke blessings as well as his angels on the Prophet Muhammad. You also believers invoke blessings and peace on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this Sahabi came asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Allah has commanded us Allah command us to invoke blessing on you, O Messenger of Allah. But how should we bless you? So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was quiet for a while, and after this he said, say, O Allah, bless Muhammad and the members of the family of Muhammad, as you have blessed the members of the of Ibrahim's family to the end. But he says this also in Arabic, and there is different narration about it, and all of them is correct inshallah, that the ones that are in the book of Sifat Salat al-Nabi for Shaykh Nasir al-Din al-Albani hafizahu Allah. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Okay, there is more than one version or one narration, so don't be confused. Hadith 250 in page 115 reported by Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا تشهد أحدكم فليستعذ بالله من أربع يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ومن عذاب القبر ومن فتنة المحيا والممات ومن شر فتنة المسيح الدجال. This hadith is authentic and in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, reported by Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he telling us that after you say the tashahud, after you saying at-tahiyyatu lillah wa salawatu wa tayyibat in the end of your prayer, and before you make taslim, before you taslim out from your salah, seek Allah's refuge, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from four things. Ask Allah to protect you from four things. What it is? The punishment of hellfire, the torment of the grave, the trial of life and death, and the trial of the Antichrist. Okay? You, when one of you finishes the last tashahud, he should seek refuge in Allah from four things by saying, O Allah, I seek refuge in you against the punishment of Jahannam, hellfire, and the punishment of the grave, the trial of the life and death, and the evil of the Messiah, Masih, Ad-Dajjal, Antichrist. Okay, and this also to be said in Arabic. Okay, we have to learn this dua, and this is very important that you learn this and you say it inshallah. Hadith 251, page 116, وعن أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم علمني دعاء أدعو به في صلاتي قال قل اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. حديث is agreed upon, that mean in Bukhari and Muslim, reported by Abu Bakr الصديق, that he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach him a dua, supplication, to say it during his prayer. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him to say what the meaning is, O Allah, I have wronged myself, and you alone can forgive the sins. So forgive me my sins, and be mercy to me. Indeed, you are the most forgiving, the most merciful. Is it, sir? فَغْفِرْ لِي yeah. اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت، فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. As we had said before, that the best time for a person to supplicate during his prayer is will be the sujood, during prostration. And this is the most closer position or the closest position that a person can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all this a hadith that we're learning about, that it can be used in that time during the sujood, or also the person may say it after tashahud, after he seek Allah's refuge in these four things that just we mentioned. The next hadith, hadith is number 252, page 116, عن وائل بن حجر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال صليت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فكان يسلم عن يمينه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، وعن شماله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رواه أبو داود بسند صحيح. Here one of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with him, which is Wa'il, reporting to us about the tasleem of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ending the prayer that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say a complete salam. And this doesn't negate the other narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Or Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and Assalamu. Okay, there is other different narration concerning the salam and finishing the salah. Hadith number 253 عن المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول في دبر كل صلاة مكتوبة لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. This another supplication to be said after finishing the salah. Okay? After finishing the salah. The next hadith, 254, كان يتعوذ بهن دبر كل صلاة، اللهم إني أعوذ بك من البخل وأعوذ بك من الجبن وأعوذ بك من أن أرد إلى أرض للعمر وأعوذ بك من فتنة الدنيا وأعوذ بك من عذاب القبر. Hadith number 255, also about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say after the salah. And as I said, we had classes before concerning zikr and remembrance of Allah. We have classes before concerning what to say in the salah. And if anybody needs anything, you have to go back to this tape, because this is not designed for this. And this is supposed to be the last class, inshallah, concerning the description of the prayer. Hadith number 255, about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say after the salah, and we learned this dua already in the classes concerning zikr. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he finished his salah, he used to ask Allah's forgiveness 3 times by saying Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And after this he will say Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dal jalali wal ikram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith reported by Thawban, whenever he finishes salah, he used to say, after speaking Allah's forgiveness 3 times, oh Allah, thou art the peace, and peace comes from you. Blessed are you, O possessor of glory and honor. And this in the collection of Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhi. Hadith number 256, page number 118, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه، رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من سبح الله دبر كل صلاة 33، وحمد الله 33، وكبر الله 33، فتلك 99. وقال تمام الماء: لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، وهو على كل شيء قدير، غفرت له خطاياه ولو كانت مثل زبد البحر. The hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam Muslim, reported by Abu Huraira, concerning zikr that you say after each obligatory prayer. Zikr that you say after each obligatory prayer. That many things that we're learning, okay, like the istighfar, like saying Allahumma anta salam. So it's more, and it's good that you learn as much as you can, and you try to repeat this supplication as much as you can. Okay? And one of them is the tasbih. To say Subhanallah 33, Alhamdulillah 33, Allahu Akbar 33. And to be count on the fingers, on your fingers, okay? Because Rasulullah sallallahu said that innahunna mustantiqat fi yawm al-qiyamah, in the day of the judgment, that this finger, that this tips will be what? They will talk, they will be witness to you. Okay, each one, 3, okay? Include this one. So you go say Subhanallah, 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 like this, in each finger 3 times, okay? You count, okay? And we see some people, they do it like this. Subhanallah. So actually their finger is faster than what they think. They did not say 33. And this, if you can see with it, do it, okay? That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do it in his fingers, okay? Regardless you're doing it like this or you're doing it like this, okay? Or that you're saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, or you say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Okay? So the sunnah is to make it in your fingers, to say 33, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, this will be 99. And you conclude the 100 by what? Saying La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa la alhamd wa ala kulli shayin qadir. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that the one who does this, Allah will forgive all his sins, even if these sins as much as, even they are as abundant as the foam of the sea. Anybody know what the foam of the sea? See how much it is? Did you see it before? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. So, and this is Allah's mercy, that for a little deed like this, that He forgave your sins for you. So these things that we should be concerned about it, that we try to implement it in our life, inshallah. Hadith 257, we already talked before in the dua class, zikr and dua class, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that I love you, Mu'adh, so as a result of this, don't forget or don't neglect to say after each salah, اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. Oh Allah, enable me or assist me to remember you, okay, to be thankful to you and to worship you in the best manner. Okay, we should learn all this dua and we should try to use them, inshallah. This hadith is authentic. Okay. The next hadith that reported by Abu Umama, may Allah be pleased with him, that من قرأ آية الكرسي دبر كل صلاة مكتوبة لم يمنعه من دخول الجنة إلا الموت. Okay. This hadith in the collection of Nisa'i ibn Hibban al-Tabarani, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is authentic, sahih, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that we recite Ayatul Kursi, okay, reciting Ayatul Kursi after each obligatory prayer. This is surah number 2, verse number 255. He says in Arabic, الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. This call آية الكرسي because it say وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض, that the chair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extend over the heaven and the earth, okay, that the chair is so big, okay, that greater than the heaven and the earth together, okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greater than anything, than the chair and the throne and everything, okay. So if you recite this verse after each obligatory prayer, nothing stops you to enter paradise except this. So if you die, inshallah, your place is Jannah. Ameen. Is Ameen Bira. Hadith number 259, page 119, عن مالك ابن الحويرك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. And this is the whole essence of the whole class now. We went over almost 50 hadith. So we can come to this conclusion, so you have no excuse. We mentioned almost 50 hadith. And we study a whole book written by Sheikh Al-Albani, hafizahullah. Okay? And would you please raise this book up so everybody can see it and everybody try to purchase this book. This is one of the things that you do it every day. Sifat Salat al-Nabi, the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Al-Albani, the description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, why we go through all the things? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam command us, and he said in this hadith, "Pray as you have seen me praying. Pray as you have seen me praying." We didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they had described to us every inch and every movement and every scene in the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's no excuse for us, except that we want to be lazy, that we don't want to study, that we want to keep, you understand, doing what we've been learned, wherever we learn it. Okay? But it's time to put everything aside, get the Book of Allah, get the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and study the proper way how to pray like the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ prayed. The Sahaba described everything, even how he moved his finger, how he sits, how he kneels, how he gets up, everything. So we have to be concerned about this thing. We did not make this effort and collect all this information for us to have it inside the book, but it has no impact on our prayer. You see? So we have almost 50 hadith in this chapter, and each hadith describing something about the prayer of the Prophet. So we need to collect all these hadith in our memory to know how exactly the Prophet used to pray, so we can imitate him in his prayer, so inshallah our prayer can be acceptable by Allah. Hadith 260, and this is a hadith before the last one, عن Imran ibn Husayn رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صل قائما فإن لم تستطع فقاعدا فإن لم تستطع فعلى جنب وإلا فأومئ. And this hadith we already spoke about it in the beginning of the class. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Imran ibn Husayn. Because Imran ibn Husayn, he has some illness called Bawasir. I forgot what it is in English. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, pray standing. And if you are unable, only the condition, if you are unable, okay, pray sitting. And if you cannot, pray laying on your side. Otherwise, pray by signs. Okay? Okay? Imam. That the person will only move his head. That means you have no excuse to neglect the prayer. You're traveling, you're home, you're sick, you're about to die, still you could not neglect your salah for any reason. What else you want? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the permission even only to move your head. Subhanallah, can you imagine how easy and simple this deen? How simple and easy. What is going to take you under some moving your head? What else do you want? Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you, make facilities for you. What else a person can be expecting more than this? You see? And this will apply to the obligatory prayer. Otherwise, as I explained before, optional prayer, even if you can stand up, you are permitted to sit and pray. Last hadith, inshallah, in this chapter, this is hadith 261, page 120, عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لمريض صل على وسادة. قال لمريض صل على وسادة فرمى بها وقال صل على الأرض إن استطاع. This is, it seems like to be, there is a problem here. Must be رأى. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لمريض صلي على وسادة فرمى بها. Anyway, the hadith number 3, the hadith is authentic that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, maybe it's my mistake, I thought the hadith supposed to say that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw a man praying on a pillow, so that the Prophet ﷺ took it and threw it away. But seeing the statement here say that the Prophet ﷺ said to a sick man, oh, that the Prophet ﷺ قال لمريض صلى على وسادة. He had said to a sick man who pray on a pillow or a cushion, so he threw it away and he said to him, pray on the ground. Okay? He said to him, pray on the ground. Narrated Jabir, that saying, that saying of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to a sick person who prayed on a cushion, the Prophet threw it away and said, pray on the ground if you are able to do so. Otherwise, pray by gesturing. Gesturing? Okay. Signs, and make your prostration lower than your bowing. Okay? That means, if a person sitting on a chair, okay, you don't take a stick or a cushion to be connected between your forehead and the ground, so you feel that you make it. There's no need for it. If you can bow down and you can put your forehead on the ground, do it. You could not, so you are not, Allah is not asking you to do more than what you can. So now all what you need to do, what? With your head. Move your head, and in a way to indicate bowing. So you say like this, Allahu Akbar, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. And after this he said, make your sujood lower than your ruku'. So you're going to say like this, Allahu Akbar. Okay? So only moving the head. If a person could not have the means to pray in the proper way as it's supposed to be. Basically, this is what for today, and we finish the book of Salah, and inshallah we'll be starting after this in a new chapter concerning the Sahu. And I hope I didn't cheat you tonight. I felt I cheated you a little bit, but it's not because it's a new information that we have discussed this information before several times. And I apologize to all of you because it's not going to be time for questions. But maybe we save it for next time. And also I apologize that I could not meet with you after Maghrib because I'm still a little bit sick. Plus, I think it's time for lunch. I didn't eat lunch yet. So, inshallah, we'll see you next Tuesday. And yes, Tuesday, inshallah, be there. Tuesday. Yes. Inshallah, we'll be class Tuesday in the same time, and we're going to have a new chapter. And maybe those people who have the question, they can bring the question, and we can start the class with the question. Okay? Those people who come late, they will lose the question. أن الله سبحانه وتعالى knows best. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. 10-4. السلام عليكم.